Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, Sign Guy and QT with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Don't forget, later today, Blue Collar Wrestling running as usual at the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon. Without further ado, though, I want to bring our guest on right away. He is out of the Midwest area, referee Rudy Diamond. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing fairly well today. Our first question for you, since it is your first time with us, is our traditional first-timers question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, actually, growing up in the Midwest, followed the Central States area championship wrestling as a kid, and so I've been a fan all my life. And then retired military, settled down in Omaha, and the independent scene is pretty big here, so started going to the shows, and then all of a sudden there was a advertisement, anybody that wanted to wrestle, referee, manage, things like that. There was a one of the owners of one of the companies had a training class, and so I went ahead and thought, hey, why not? So I'm a little bit older, so too old to be wrestling, and so yeah, I've been doing it now, going into my fourth year.
Did you have any type of a background before getting into the wrestling business, be it athletic or drama-based or anything like that, that would have prepared you for professional wrestling?
No, actually, being a fan. So being a fan was kind of nice because you already knew going into it kind of the wrestling world and kind of what somewhat to do. So I really wasn't, like, prepared for it, but as far as exercise-wise, once I went into training, and we would train weekly and to get into shape. So, but it was basically being a fan that got me kind of ready and excited to do it.
Now, in the early 80s, there used to be a wrestler that was famous for being on WWF television at the time. He was named Rudy Diamond. Is there ever any confusion out of promoters or fans as far as confusing you and him initially?
I will get I'll get stuff on my Facebook page, and then I'll get people to come up to me and say, hey, were you, did you was you once in the WWF, WWE? So I don't really go into it. I said, no, wrong Rudy Diamond. Thanks for asking. But so some confusion occasionally, maybe by a fan that's has followed wrestling for all that long, but normally not so much.
One of the more controversial aspects in professional wrestling over the last few years is that of blood as it relates to wrestling in 2019. A lot of people think that blood no longer has a place in the business. Some people think that there is a place for it. I know that as a referee, it's up to the referees to decide if there's too much blood loss, if a match has to end early. In some states, the referee has to end the match immediately if there's blood. Some states, there's no regulations on it, so it's up to the people involved. What's your opinion on blood in professional wrestling?
Okay, so on the, if we're talking on a real account, someone was to get injured and start bleeding, definitely one of those situations where in the area I'm at, I've seen it where someone's, where they've cut their had a cut on their arm or their face, and we definitely just kind of check it out, see where they're at. And, you know, it's one of those things where you can't put yourself liable, whether it's with the other wrestler to the wrestling or you as a referee. So it's really based on how bad the blood is type deal. I've never had a situation where I've had to stop a match. So here in the Midwest, it seems like there's not much of a problem on it, but I can't really answer if there's a legal issue or how they stand on it here.
A lot of areas in the country right now are experiencing a lot of really great young talent coming up. I know that in our neck of the woods, there's a lot of great younger talent that is starting to really get good. Out in the East, there's a lot of great young talent. I know the Midwest is filled with really good young talent. Based on what you're seeing lately, who are some of the younger wrestlers out there that promoters might want to especially take notice of before it's too late and they're signed to a full-time contract with a national deal?
Wow, you're putting me on a spot there. But I'll tell you that being in the business as a fan and then as a referee, some of the talent I've seen has been definitely outstanding. And I've seen guys myself where I'd say, you know, you look at them like, wow, they really have a chance, or they're, you know, definitely could go to the next level. There's Jason Strife. Don't know if you know with some of these names, but he's been doing it for quite a while and definitely got some great talent. Mark Sterling out of Kansas City, Jeremy Wyatt, some of those guys that you see, you're like, why aren't they at the next level? You know, we've got a handful of the young talent coming up, and there's definitely some, you can definitely see some people out there that definitely you think could have a shot. Like I said, Jason Strife, one of the best, Mark Sterling, Jeremy Wyatt, you know, definitely see a lot of good talent out there.
Since you're a referee in the wrestling business, obviously you're going to know a little bit about what it takes to be a good referee out there. There's also a lot of referees that go unnoticed, just like the wrestlers. Who are some of the better referees that you've come across that you think might need a little more attention out of promoters?
You know, Mason, one of the guys I referee with in one of the organizations, he's been doing it for more years than me, a number of years, and definitely one of the best referees that I've seen. Some of the others, as far as name-wise, not really familiar with them, but like I said, the Mason, can't even think of his full name, sorry, Mason, but I work with him here with Magnum Pro, and he's definitely one of the best refs that I've seen work in the area and other shows that I've seen.
I know a lot of fans, as well as, sadly enough, a lot of people within the industry don't fully realize how a referee can make or break not only an individual match, but a show as a whole. I'm sure you've seen a lot of the misconceptions from people in and out of the business. What's some of the things that you think that are vital to a good show out of a referee that a lot of people may not realize is happening?
Well, with that, with the show, as we all know, everybody has to work together. And so if the wrestlers, whether sometimes you might get some wrestlers that maybe they're newer with a veteran, or maybe the audience can be stale. So the referee, you just have to be right there. You know, I'm making sure and trying that we're still going on a good flow. I've got to be in the right position. I've got to make the right counts and calls. And so it's, you get the crowd interaction, but part of that is part of the show, whether it being distracted, things like that. But definitely it's one of those things where everybody's got to work together. You know, I can't just kind of sit back and just kind of watch what's happening. I got to be right up in the middle of things and do my part as a ref, but definitely not steal the spotlight and take it away from the wrestlers as well, you know.
Another rather controversial thing in wrestling really for the last several decades has been the issue of steroids in wrestling. It was extremely prevalent in the late 70s through the early 90s, and it's not totally gone from the business. I'm sure it would be foolish to think that. Most people think that it's largely eradicated from it. Some people think otherwise. Not asking you to name names or anything like that, but do you see any type of problem with steroids in wrestling in your area?
At the independent level here in my area, none whatsoever. I know a lot of those guys definitely can tell, work out, have the gym memberships. I think one of the owners even offers a free membership to the gym and stuff. But I have not seen any issues, discussion, or even it come up about steroids.
Looking back at history and realizing how many wrestlers died of heart issues and other illnesses before the age of 55, 10 to 15 years ago, do you think that the industry as a whole didn't really police itself enough against the dangers of steroids, or do you think that that was something that was up to the individuals that were using them to know what they were doing and try to control themselves a little better?
Well, I think back then, I think it was probably the wrestlers and them taking control of themselves, because at that time, there wasn't a lot of those old-time wrestlers dying at such a young age. Now that we see that that's what's happening, you know, I think there's definitely bigger and better controls from the ownership on down. But I'm sure back in the day, I would believe that it was probably left up to those individuals themselves.
Wrestling is a very cardio-heavy sport. It takes a lot of endurance, especially if you're one of a couple of referees or sometimes even the lone referee on a show. It's going to take a lot to get through the night for some people. Just as far as individual matches go, what's the longest match you've had to officiate?
It's interesting you asked that question. We had a show a week ago last Saturday, and I had a 30-minute Ironman match. And because normally the matches don't go that long, and this was one of those 30-minute Ironman, most pinfalls in 30 minutes win. So definitely that was the longest that I was out there. And definitely you could tell 30 minutes is definitely a long time. Not only for me, but definitely I can imagine for the wrestlers. But yeah, 30 minutes is the longest match I've had.
Now, are there a lot of shows out there where you've been the sole official and had to officiate every match on a given card?
No, one of the organizations, when I first got into them, it was funny. I let it be known that I was available and that they needed me, and it just so happened they had a situation where they needed me, and so they asked if I could do it as a short notice. I did, and I was the only ref that night. And so it was six matches, but there's been just that one time that I had to carry the card the whole night. Not something I like to do, that's for sure.
Now, wrestlers sometimes have a preference as far as tag teams versus singles wrestling goes. Do you as an official have a preference when it comes to tag team versus singles matches?
Well, both the single and the tag team action here in the Midwest is definitely very, very good. So as far as a ref for myself, I enjoy both. There is definitely a difference because with the tag team, it's definitely in that ring, it's a matter of that space. I definitely enjoy the tag team, but definitely it's a little bit easier space-wise and being able to move around with the singles. But I don't know if anything beats a great, you know, tag team versus another great tag team. Definitely a lot of fun, a lot of action.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'll pass things over to him.
Thank you. Hello. How's it going?
I'm good, sir. How about yourself? Mm-hmm. Thanks you for having me.
Oh, no problem. I'm doing very well. Rudy, did you ever see a wrestler take out his dentures and bite another wrestler with them?
No, that's a great question. No, I have not. That would be awesome. That's definitely a great storyline, but I don't know any wrestlers that actually have the dentures. So, yeah, I have not seen that.
Oh, well, we have a wrestler out here in the Northwest that did that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It was one of the funnier moments I've ever seen. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Rudy, one of my favorite wrestlers, at least in the top five, was Carlito. Did you ever have a chance to meet him? And if so, was he munching on an apple?
Thanks for the question. It's a great question. Actually, up in South Dakota, Eugene runs a wrestling promotion up there. And he had one of the shows that I reffed at. Carlito was up there. And he did the apple gimmick coming out. But backstage, you know, that's what the apple was for, the gimmick coming out. But backstage, he was fine, no apples or anything.
Wow. Now, did he make an official proclamation that you were cool or uncool?
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, the nice thing is everybody backstage, everybody's always usually cool. I haven't run into any situations where they haven't been. So, you know, it's one of those things you have to respect who the wrestling star is. You know, I'll say hi, shake hands, maybe get a photo if need be. But other than that, just kind of let them do their thing, you know, because they're there to work. And so try not to get in their way and stuff. But definitely very cool.
Wow. Okay. Very good. All right. And another wrestler, did you ever meet one of the my other top five, ten, our top ten wrestlers, Kofi Kingston, whose sunny disposition was a breath of fresh air at the time when he entered the WWE.
I have not had the pleasure of meeting Kofi Kingston. I don't even know where he's wrestling at these days. But no, I have not had a chance to see or meet with Kofi Kingston at all.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you yourself have entrance music? And if not, why don't more refs have entrance music?
Well, okay, so it's interesting that you asked that question. So with my name being Rudy Diamond, I don't have entrance music. Now, I have one organization that they announce the referee's name right there in the beginning, before they get into the wrestler intros, the wrestler's already out. But with Rudy, it's a very easy name to chant. So as I'm walking out, you know, some of the fans that know who I am will start saying, Rudy, Rudy. So I don't have music, but like I said, the one organization will announce, and your referee is Rudy Diamond, so the crowd, once again, Rudy, Rudy. So then when I go to other organizations, if I've got some of the same fan base, and in the Omaha area here, I do, even though they may not announce my name, I'll still get some of the chants and all that good stuff. So enough to where it was an easy catchphrase. I have shirts out there that people buy and wear, and so I've been pretty fortunate with the name.
What would you say was one of your best T-shirt selling days? Can you give us a number of the number of T-shirts that was sold?
Well, I bring them to the show. I think probably one day I probably sold 12. But the good thing is you get to know people and some of the fans that come to shows. I'll promote it as going in where I wear my shirt and say, hey, you want to buy a shirt? But I think probably my best day is probably 12. And part of that is maybe is because, you know, people are spending their money on beer and versus, hey, I'll buy a shirt next time.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, have you yourself ever been to any celebrity boxing matches or maybe celebrity wrestling matches where Dustin Diamond or Screech from Saved by the Bell was present?
No, I wish I was. I've seen it, whether it's on YouTube, whatever. But no, I have not. I would love to. That would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, if they could have a photo with you and him, that'd be very good.
That would be good.
All right. Well, being from Nebraska, where corn is king, have you ever reffed a match with a wrestler named the Scarecrow?
I have not. Not familiar with that name either.
Oh, that's kind of, I would think, you know, Nebraska with those huge fields of corn that can stretch on as far as the eye can see, we would have a Scarecrow.
That would only make sense, right? A great name, though. It's a matter of who wants to dress up every time like that.
Oh yeah, that could be kind of like dressing up like Kiss, like Gene Simmons.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now can you confirm that Penny from the Big Bang Theory is indeed from Nebraska? Have you heard anything about that?
You know, that from what I understand, that is a storyline. She's not from Nebraska, from what I understand.
All right. Okay. Now, have you ever received an uppercut from an enraged female wrestler who didn't like your decision that actually was a little stiff and made you go, damn, I felt that one? Have you ever had that situation?
I wish I had better answers for you, but that sounds like so much fun. But no, I have not. So I've had I've had fans where they boo or come on, Rudy, things like that. But as far as someone hitting me or an outraged, angry woman, no. No one's hit me that way.
Okay. Now, that brings up a question. Different parts of the country have different reactions, usually from the fans. Now, here in the Northwest, it can get kind of gloomy and foggy with the ever-present cloud cover from December, January, and February and March. However, you know, Seattle does have a kind of a bad reputation. It isn't overcast 6 months of the year. You know, you have some nice April days and some very nice October and early November days. But I'm digressing anyway. My question is, how many states have you refereed in, and did you notice a difference of temperament from the fans? Say, like if you refereed in the Gulf Coast as opposed to the Midwest or especially the Northeast?
Now, I've stayed all in the Midwest area, so I've wrestled down in Kansas, Iowa, South Dakota, and Nebraska. So those are the four states that I kind of stay in the area. But as far as a difference, you know, a lot of times, like when I did the Kansas show, it was a new promotion. And so it's tough to base any bias or any different reaction, you know, on a very first show because people don't know what to expect, per se. But I know definitely here in Nebraska and Iowa, you know, everybody's definitely excited and good to go with the shows and the performers, referees, and all that.
Well, Rudy, did you yourself wrestle in high school, or what other sports did you participate in?
No, I did not wrestle in high school. I played baseball, and then the only thing that probably helped me with my physical I'm retired military 24 years, and so that was, you know, a little bit of physical fitness involved there. But other than that, just the baseball.
Wow. Okay. Was this with a minor league team?
No. I played through high school and then joined the military right out of high school. 24 years later, retired, and just doing this wrestling bit because it's just a passion of mine.
Wow. Now, due to video analysis, which I am an expert in, especially guessing a person's weight and height, I'm going to say that you played third base.
You know, you did very well. So that was correct.
Oh.
Third base, pitcher at times, early on, sometimes second or short. But my mainstay was third.
Wow. Who's your favorite third baseman of all time?
You know,
So I'm going to go back in the day, being a Yankees fan at a point, probably Greg Nettles.
Wow, Greg Nettles, okay. I was going to say, take a guess at Brooks Robinson.
Well, and seeing that's just it, being the age I'm at, I never got to see him play. I'm definitely a big fan, but it's a matter of who I was able to watch play, you know, growing up and stuff.
Wow, all right. Now I'm going to mark that down. That once again, my almost undefeated streak in video analysis is intact. I'm very pleased. Okay. All right.
Congratulations.
Yes. Can we ask what branch of the service you served in? Because I myself did 20 years in the Coast Guard.
Oh, thank you for your service, by the way. But 24 years in the Air Force.
Hey, very nice. Okay. Now, in your Air Force, did you have a chance to serve in Japan?
You know, I traveled to Japan. I never was stationed there, but I did travel over to, it would have been Kadena Air Base, Japan.
Have you ever thought of taking a MAC flight, now that you're retired, over to Japan, and before you took the MAC flight, contacting any wrestling organizations over there and offering to referee?
You know, I have not. You know, when people say, hey, why don't you go do this, that, it's a matter of this, just that traveling. The good thing is here in the Midwest, the independent scene is very, very big and popular, so it's like there's plenty of stuff going on here. You know, I currently work for three, possibly with a fourth one coming up, so it's, you know, definitely not a lack of work here, that's for sure. So I have not thought
okay.
about doing a MAC fight, see if I can go to Japan.
Oh, okay. Can we ask what your rate was?
What my rate was as far as?
As far as the job
the MAC,
that you did.
If I, as far as, oh, rank-wise, you talking what I retired as? Or what I
well,
was at? Or what I did as a job?
I mean, what you did as a job, yes.
Okay, so, Craig, so we're talking Air Force here, so not in the combat zone much, but finance for the first 16 years, and then I actually was a flight attendant for the four stars, senators, congressmen, things like that for 8 years, and then also picked up for sergeant duty the last year.
Wow, okay, all right. So at a time, you were kind of like a liaison for the Congress people, liaison.
Yes. I was stationed out of Germany. We had just there in the Germany arena right there, we had four different four-star commanders that we would have to take around different places.
Wow, all right. Well, Rudy, in your opinion, will we ever see a wrestler with a move called the DD-214.
Well, actually, we should, because, you know, if we go back in time, like the Patriot or someone that has a, you know, if we have Sergeant Slaughter, what a great, you know, some great, the DD-214, the only problem with that maybe is everybody with a military background would laugh and love it, and the other people are like, what's that? It
yeah.
is possible.
See, the beauty in that is if you caught a wrestler, like ex-military, pulling a foreign object out of his trunk red-handed, you could slap him with a bad DD-214.
Well, in the Air Force, going through basic, if you got in trouble, you get a 341. Is what they would call it. So it was kind of a little write-up slip, and they call it 341. So we don't have to maybe discharge him with a bad DD-214, but at least we can hand him out some 341s, you know?
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, in your job as a liaison to those Congress people, did you ever have a chance to meet Jesse Ventura?
No, I did not. As far as wrestlers go, they came through Germany, but I wasn't part of that crew, the WWE at one time, so I did not get a chance to meet Jesse Ventura, but I did get a chance to travel with Senator McCain twice. Definitely was a very interesting. Got to fly with President Carter. And then Senator Donald Rumsfeld. So those are three of the big names that I've been able to travel with.
Oh, wow. Any chance you traveled with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, no. Celebrity-wise, the biggest celebrity was Toby Keith.
Toby Keith. Very nice. Okay. All right. Wow. All right. Well, Rudy, if you could go back in a time machine, which one of these matches would you choose to be a ref in? You've got three choices. Number one, the Hurricane versus the Rock. Number two, the Midnight Rockers versus Buddy Rose and Doug Summers. Or three, the Big Show versus Mark Henry.
Wow. I no doubt about it. Hands down, I'd have to go with the tag team match. That was kind of back in my day. I think Summers and them were growing up. I seen them maybe in the AWA or World Championship Class Wrestling, WCCW. So, yeah, that definitely would be a fun match.
All right. Okay, the Midnight Rockers versus Buddy Rose and Doug Summers. Very nice.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, speaking of which, how is the situation there in Kansas? Are there any women tag teams? What's the status of those women tag teams?
You know, the Kansas promotion, they had a show earlier about a year and a half ago, and then the owner had got some medical trouble, so they're just starting back up with their first show coming back up March 9th. So as of right there in the Kansas area, not familiar with any women tag team champions.
Okay. All right. Are you currently a member of the Cauliflower Alley Club?
I am not. I've not heard of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Rudy, when you got into refereeing, did you yourself take it upon yourself to learn how to tear down and set up a ring? Was that something you wanted to demonstrate that you knew how to do?
Well, I do see here with the local shows here and promotions is all the beginners, when you start out as a student, trainee, and all that, they all take part in helping set up and tear down. So, yes, when I first got into it, I was doing that, and then I was realizing that it's like, wow, I'm a little bit older than some of these younger guys. I might let them do the heavy lifting.
Wow.
But it was pretty much known that the new people up and coming, you know, would pay their dues, per se, and help with the setup and the teardown, whether it was a referee, manager, wrestler.
Of all the other 50 states, or maybe 40, at this point, all the other 46 states, which ones would you have high priority visiting and refereeing in, the ones you haven't visited?
You know, somewhere close is always nice. But I know North Dakota, you know, they had a great promotion going on, so it'd be interesting to go with that. And then I know Chicago's got a great scene, so that would be interesting. But it sounds like if you've got a guy with dentures pulling them out and biting people where you're at, maybe I need to come see you guys.
Yes. Hey, maybe there's YouTube footage of that happening, and if so, we'll try to send it to you. Yes.
Yes, please do. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sungai.
All right, sir. It was a pleasure. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you, QT. Well, Rudy, one of the things in pro wrestling that is unique is there are stipulation matches where all sorts of variants of rules exist. There's cage matches, ladder matches. There's been stretcher matches, all sorts of different stipulations. What's been the most unique stipulation match that you've officiated so far?
That I've officiated. Okay, so the Iron Man match was pretty good, and that was the first for me. They didn't have any of the other, but I mean, the best, most falls in the 30 minutes, and 30 minutes is a long time, so that was pretty intense. And then I've had a couple matches where, well, there was no disqualification, and they would bring a bag of thumbtacks. So then they grab the thumbtacks, they dump them on the ring, and then I'm like, oh, well, this is
I got to make sure I stay out of the way of those. Those really hurt. So thumbtacks, and then, like I said, that Iron Man, that was pretty as far as what I've been able to referee.
Has there ever been a match that the promoter pitched to you that was so out there, so dangerous, were just unappealing to you that you refused to do that type of match?
No, it's kind of nice because, you know, there's going to be more than one ref, so we'll get to where there's a show, we'll go over the matches and all that. So there might be times where we're like, well, you can have that one, or but there's never been one that's been like, well, I'm not doing that. You know, that's whether it's too controversial or stupid or doesn't go with what we want it to, but there's never been that situation.
Now, have you ever been on a show where a wrestler had refused to do what was proposed to him, be it wrestle a certain person or do a certain type of match or maybe not do a series of moves that the promoter had requested, anything like that?
No, sometimes there would be situations where you run into where maybe a student or a trainee, you know, being newer versus a veteran, but you know, you only see him kind of talk him over a little bit more of things, but I've never seen it where a wrestler says, no, I don't want to do that, or and I'm not doing that. I haven't experienced that. But I could see where, you know, there could be conflict only because of the fact of maybe the level of knowledge and experience from one wrestler to another at times.
The last 25 years or so, there has been a number of wrestling clowns in the business. A lot of wrestling-based clown gimmicks are on the independents. Doink the Clown was the major one for the national companies. Have you run into any clown gimmicks on your travels as a rep?
Absolutely. Actually, we have one here locally, Willie Sweet, the Candyman, and it's got the Willy Wonka, bad clown type vibe to it. So, but it's a very, very good gimmick. And that's the
now, obviously, a lot of times the clowns are more comedy based and do the comedy spots and matches. Is it a little more difficult for you to officiate when they're doing the comedy as opposed to just a straight wrestling match?
Well, no, and our clown here is more of like scary, so I don't know if the comedy's there, but he'll deal with the candy and all that. But as far as I've been in a match and ref where, you know, there was the comedy. But no, as long as I know what's going on, I just kind of stand out of the way and let them do their thing.
Midget matches usually involve the referees a lot more than a standard match as well for different spots. Have you had the opportunity to do many midget matches?
I have not. We get a promotion that comes through here probably every other month or so, every 3 months, and I've wanted to go check them out, but I have not investigated or been asked to do any midget wrestling refereeing.
Now, in the annals of wrestling, there's been some very shall we say, prominent drinkers. A lot of people used to drink pretty heavily on the road. One of the most notable, Andre the Giant, he consumed over 100 beers in a single sitting, according to multiple reports. Do you think you could hang with someone like Andre if it came down to a beer drinking contest?
I might be able to get one down to his every 10. So definitely, he would definitely blow me out of the water.
Now, of course, in the current scene here in wrestling, not as many people are heavy drinkers as we saw in years past. A lot of people are much more careful about what goes into their body. Do you see a lot of people going out for drinks after shows, or is it something that isn't as common as it used to be in the business?
Well, it's interesting because one of our promotions, they'll have like an after party. And so, and a lot of times that after party, or not many times, you know, it's going to be at a bar, but there's going to be food served. So it's kind of nice because I'll even get some of the fans to come up and say, hey, are you guys having an after party tonight? And they'll usually announce it. So then, you know, after teardown and, you know, the fans are usually there before some of the wrestlers can get there. But, you know, a lot of them are there just to kind of hang with the wrestlers, get to, you know, socialize with them and things like that. But, you know, so it does happen here and there, but I think it really also depends on, you know, what's kind of going on for the night. It's a late night, you know, if a lot of guys have, if they've traveled or, you know, so it's just kind of probably varies at times too.
Well, recently in the last few years in wrestling, a WWE Hall of Famer has been elected president of the United States. One of the owners of the company is now in the cabinet. We have seen an NFL owner just recently start up a new wrestling promotion. Lots of high-powered people have ties to wrestling right now. What do you think of the proliferation of people with so much power having ties to professional wrestling now?
You know, if they're there to make it better, I'm all for it. You know, whether they're going to use their money or whatever they bring to the table, if they're able to make it better than what it is, I'm all for it. If they have no reason to be there except for, you know, their names being, you know, put out there, and there's no use for it, well, that's on them. But if definitely it's going to make it better, I'd be all for it.
Now, it's not as common on the independents, but a lot of the national companies bring in celebrities to try to boost attendance and draw the fans of the celebrities. We still see it on the independent circuit from time to time, be it local celebrities like radio hosts and television personalities. Some companies will even spring for people that were on reality shows or are just locally based. Have you come across many celebrities so far in your career?
You know, not a whole lot. I know we had one of the local radio stations, one of the guys that's got connection, Donnie Dodge, I think his wife is a radio DJ, and I know at one of their shows that we had that they brought her in as the ring announcer. You know, and they'll usually do it with a benefit show, so it's kind of a good package, you know, for bringing fans in for the benefit. You've got the celebrity, you know, name coming through. As far as reality show, I don't even remember what his name was, but he was on one of the reality shows and then became a wrestler. And we've had him there, and, you know, and same thing as former pro wrestlers, WWE, that, you know, stuff. We've had them come through. But as far as celebrities, just that one radio announcer.
Wrestling also has been used quite a bit as far as a way to support charities. There's a company in Idaho that attaches itself to a different charitable cause every time they run a show. There's food drives, there's benefits, all sorts of charity work done by wrestling. Do you do a lot of the charitable type of shows?
Yes, absolutely. The promotions we have in the Midwest are really good on that, where they'll have a benefit show, you know, to raise money for this organization. You know, when they've done free shows, things like that. So, yes, definitely all about it. And I think it is a pretty big deal in the area here as well.
The benefit shows are usually a little bit different as far as the booking of the shows because it's a different type of fan base usually. A lot of the wrestlers do it without any pay or take a cut in pay as far as that goes. Do you ever notice a little bit different feel to the show in the locker room as opposed to a standard show?
No, actually, I think maybe if I see any different, it might be even just a little bit for the better because the fact is you do have a different crowd.
sometimes you might have more people there to support what the charity cause is. So I've seen at times possibly where the wrestlers are a little bit more excited because they're able to be out there in front of, you know, people that normally don't come to the shows.
Fans are, of course, the lifeblood of professional wrestling, and anyone that's worked in it, of course, has had interactions with fans, both good and bad. What's been your favorite interaction that you've had with a fan so far?
What I enjoy probably the most is because of the fact of being Rudy Diamond, the Rudy chant so easy, and so when I come out and I just hear the fans chanting Rudy, Rudy, you know, that definitely puts a smile inside me, and definitely that's probably been one of my favorites. But I know during our intermission and after the shows, we'll go out with the fans and we'll have people, you know, have people come up and say, hey, great job, or want a picture. So the picture moments, you know, with kids and all that, that's always a lot of fun. So favorite's probably the photo ops with kids, but at the same time, hearing my name being chanted is definitely a nice rush as well.
You were talking with QT earlier about entrance music. On the independent scene, wrestlers will use pretty much any mainstream song or custom song that they get. There's not a lot of regulation as far as the independents with that. What's been the strangest choice for entrance music that you've noticed a wrestler using?
You know, there's one song. I don't even know the name. I've got it on my playlist because I liked it. But in the song, it says, I don't want to be an asshole anymore. So every time I hear that, and it's just a lot of fans, you know, get into it that way. And definitely it caught my attention as well.
There's been a number of movies out there that are wrestling based, going back all the way to the 50s. Professional wrestling has been either the major plot of a wrestling movie or in the background a little bit. You have the Vern Gagne, Ed Asner version of the Wrestler, the Mickey Rourke version of the Wrestler. Sylvester Stallone has done a couple of movies that had wrestling in it. WWE, of course, has gotten into films. What would you say is the best wrestling-related movie that you have seen?
Wow. You're asking someone that doesn't watch a lot of movies. That's terrible. So I do remember enjoying the Mickey Rourke, the Wrestler, definitely being very good. And I'm trying to think. I tried to watch some of the Glow Wrestling they brought back on Netflix, but I couldn't get into that. So probably, yeah, I'd have to go with the Wrestler, the Mickey Rourke, the Wrestler.
There's also been a number of books on wrestling in the last 20 years or so, ever since Mick Foley got the number one bestseller for his autobiography. Tons of books have been released, both about the sport in general and, of course, autobiographies about individual wrestlers. There's been several about specific companies over the years. What's been your favorite wrestling book that you've read?
It would have been, actually, I did read the Mankind Mick Foley book. Definitely enjoyed that. Got into Stone Cold, one of Steve Austin's books. And so those have been two of my favorites. There is a book out there that I've been wanting to read and get a hold of. I just have not went out and got it yet. But you asked me which one's my favorite that I've read, so those would be the two. But the one on Bruiser Brody is the one that I want to get a hold of and read next.
I believe the one you're talking about is simply titled Brody.
Correct. Called Brody, correct. Sorry about that.
And refereeing for wrestling has seen very many different types of uniforms. We have the black and white stripes. We have the blue shirt and bow tie. Some people utilize polo shirts. Usually there's slacks involved. What's your favorite referee uniform to wear for a match?
You know, we, in all the organizations I've worked for, we use the white and black stripes. So I'm not used to wearing the other stuff, but I don't know that I'd want to wear the bow tie. I definitely wouldn't that to be choking me when I'm trying to be refereeing. So I'd have to stick with the stripes. But I know we've also had talked about where certain promotions have been wanting to get kind of their own referee shirts to kind of set them apart or set them different from others. You know, and that'd be unique as well, too.
Now, the wrestlers themselves usually take a lot of pride in the wrestling gear that they wear. Many of them get customized gear and have it made to suit their vision. Some people buy it from websites such as High Spots or something like that. What's been the best looking gear that you've come across?
Ooh, you're asking me a question I don't even know an answer to, because I do see the guys bringing their gear and I see some really good stuff, but I do see them where they progress, where they've started off early and where they've changed, whether it's gimmicks or updated their outfits. So I see some of the quality come in, but as far as where they get it from or who it is, what it is, I have no idea. Because I can go down to my local Dick's Sporting Goods and get a striped shirt.
True enough. One of the other overlooked aspects of pro wrestling usually is the ring announcer. They are the face of the company that the fans associate rightly or wrongly as being in control of the show, being in charge of it. Who would you say are some of the better ring announcers out there right now?
Well, here locally, from what I know, definitely Pete works with our one company and does a very good job. As far as the other company, we have a guy named James Jeffries. Once again, very good job. And so we've had definitely where I work, it's definitely very important. And the people that they have doing the ring announcing, definitely doing excellent jobs.
Has there ever been a situation where you were asked to ring announce on a show?
No.
Of course, talked about some of the younger wrestlers in there. A referee often is instrumental in helping a wrestler along in his early matches. A lot of times they tend to get lost and nervous and that type of thing. Do you find yourself having to lead a lot of the younger talent around during matches?
Not during the matches per se, because I know they've got help with the person they're wrestling against. But what's nice though is after the match, we'll always be like, "Hey, good job," and they're like, "How'd it go?" And I can tell them, "Nope, that looked great." The nice thing is there's a lot of feedback, whether it be from me or in the locker room there, you know, with these young guys, definitely trying to help them out and definitely get them to be where they want to be.
I mentioned the promotion in Idaho, and they do an annual show outdoors on New Year's Eve. It can get very bitterly cold in Idaho. I know where you're at, it can also get cold. What's the coldest that you've ever experienced, either on an outdoor show or just in a building that wasn't heated very well?
Well, interesting. The show we had a week ago last Saturday here in Nebraska, we were having snowstorms coming through and bitter cold temperatures. I think it got down to single digits. It was snowing. And definitely, there'd be a line outside, but with the weather, they went ahead and opened one of the other doors to let some of the fans in. But you know, when you were walking by, whether you're going through, going out to smoke or just step out and get a breath of fresh air. Last week, definitely, there wasn't very many people outside. It was too darn cold.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want you to have ample time. If there's anything you would like to say today, plug and promote anything you would like, upcoming appearances, social medias, merchandise, your favorite used car lot, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Oh, well, thank you so very much. First off, I want to thank you guys there at Turnbuckle Turmoil for having me on as a guest. I definitely was happy to be a part of that. As far as the independent scene here in the Midwest, anybody that's wants to, if they're passing through or want to check it out on whether it's their web pages, because I work with Magnum Pro Wrestling, definitely very good, and you can find them on YouTube. Same way with PWP, another organization I work with. You can find them also on YouTube, and they've got pages. I've got a Facebook page out there. It's Referee Rudy Diamond, all three words. I don't sell my merchandise on the site, and maybe I should one day. But, you know, it's definitely, I'll put the shows that are upcoming, not only in the Omaha area, but, you know, surrounding states. You know, Des Moines got a big scene as well. And so when I see the flyers come through on my wrestling page, I'll post them out there. So it's one of those things, if you're wanting to know about upcoming shows, if you get on my Facebook page, you can see where it's posted, or you can go, like I said, the Magnum Pro, PWP. So those are definitely good places to start. One of the things that I didn't know, if you're going to ask me, you know, we all have a wrestling love, whether as we start as a kid or whatever, but I was thinking, it's like, well, when they asked me my top five favorite wrestlers, like, well, I can think of three right off the top of my head that just come right to mind. So for me growing up, Bruiser Brody being number one, Ric Flair and Roddy Piper, definitely right there, some of my favorites. But growing up as a kid, if I had another one to that, it was the watching the Atlanta-based NWA Georgia Wrestling that would come on, what, Saturdays at 5 Central. There was the Mass Superstar, who then went on and was part of Demolition. And so, yeah, but if I had to get a fifth, there's so many good ones out there. But other than that, I want to definitely thank you for having me anytime. And if you guys are ever in the area, and you said you guys are up in the Seattle area, I'd love to come up there and check out some of your shows. The nice thing that I do like, and it's definitely very exciting, is the independent scene in the Midwest is big, and it sounds like where you guys are, and if we go out to the East Coast, you know, it's, and I know out in California, definitely it's good to see that it's out there. We're able to give back to the fans, and I know with some of the shows I've worked or even been a part of, you know, when I was a fan, you know, the seating is, you know, there's not a bad seat in the place. You're definitely getting your money's worth. So what I encourage, if you're a fan and maybe you didn't know about the independent scene, definitely check your area. But there's pretty much, I know there's got to be a lot of good stuff out there that I'm not able to catch, but I'm definitely very pleased where the pro wrestling is and where it's going. Definitely a lot of fun and exciting.
Well, Rudy Diamond, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. We appreciate it greatly. Best of luck to you as you continue with your career, and hopefully we'll come across each other in a locker room at some point.
Definitely a pleasure. Thank you so very much, guys, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And give a wrestler a bad DD214.
Yeah, exactly, right? Or a 341.
All right, fans, if you get the chance to check out Referee Rudy Diamond, go buy a ticket, support him and what he does. Take a look at his social media. Keep up to date with his schedule. We will be back with you next week, next Friday afternoon. We will be back with you with Roxy Hart. And a week from today, we'll be joined by members of 49th State Wrestling out of Alaska. So take the time to join us, and we'll talk to you next week. Mm-hmm.
the way you wanted me to be. But you're leaving and I miss you, you know. You could be the mountain, I could be the sea. Cause I've been tearing us apart and miss you. Walking in sleep when you're all alone, waiting on me to come back home. I can see you walking far away, I don't know why. So I'll just wait. I'll just wait. Half a man you needed, one is whole. But I was given everything, cause I miss you, you know. It's talking in your sleep when you're all alone, waiting on me to come back home. I can see you walking far away, I don't know how. Talking in your sleep when you're all asleep.